My name is Trina Thielen and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for Anthony Gormley's One Another project. The date today is the 4th of October and the time is 10:30. Could you please state your name, age and where you're from?
I'm Andrew Evans. I come from Chester and I'm 34 years old.
And how are you feeling today?
Pretty good, actually. Yeah, fairly relaxed. Looking forward to a stint on the plinth there. And yeah, I was getting a little bit nervous about 20 minutes ago, but yeah, quite calm again. So we'll see how it goes.
And did you travel from Chester today?
Yeah, we got the train this evening, left at 7 and got here. It was early, fortunately. So got in at 9:15 and grabbed a cab, black cab over here. It's quite all very easy to get here, so that was good.
Are you going back to Chester tonight?
Or? We're heading back in the morning. So we're going to stay over in London and then head back tomorrow morning, back in time for work.
And how did you find out about the One Another project?
I'm not 100% certain. I think I saw something on one of the news websites somewhere and then followed the link and thought that looked like a good thing and then saw you could apply for it and thought, yeah, why not? It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity and give it a go. So that's how I ended up here.
And how does it feel to be one of 2,400 blinders?
As I say, it's a unique opportunity. I'm quite excited by that. It'll be quite good fun. I think it's something that, well, I explained to my daughter tonight. I showed her a video of the plinth to say that he's going here tonight. And her first question was, why? And I said, well, because I can. And I think it'd be nice for her in years to come and say, oh, look, my silly daddy went and stood on a bit of concrete for a while, but she still, I don't think she'll ever understand. But it's a unique opportunity, which I'd like to follow up, and I am following up.
And how did you feel when you found out you got selected?
Given the numbers of applications and I guess I didn't actually work out what the chance of getting selected was, so I was quite pleased, really, because I wasn't expecting it at all. I was expecting an email back saying, nah, you missed out this time. But it was good. So good, not a very descriptive word. But quite excited to hear that come through and sort of book the train same day. So that kind of gives you an idea of how pleased I was.
But. And what is it you will be doing?
I'm going to, well, my first idea, and it's what I'm going to do, is I'm going to do some scanning, some rapid mapping of Trafalgar Square, and I've bought a bit of equipment with me that I use every day that should be able to pick up millions of points of Trafalgar Square and then make a 3D map or a 3D model of the square itself. So that's my plan, because I felt that a lot of the statues that are on these plinths are of explorers and generally cartographers and map makers and that kind of thing. Not always, but you know, generally that's the case. And I thought, oh, that'd be quite good fun. So that was kind of the idea of what I was going to do. And then as that's developed, that's it. I'm going to make a map. So can't really put it in any other words.
And what inspired you to do that?
It's what I do for a living. So I work for a equipment manufacturer that make the equipment that do this. Give you this tool that you can use for making maps rapidly and easily, and it was something I thought, well, I've got a tool sitting here in the garage, I'll bring it down and if I get selected, I'll have a play with it and see what I can do with it. So it's a little bit of a test for it. I'm not certain we'll get everything because it's got a limited range of about 300 meters, so I'm not sure we'll get everything, so it's quite an interesting test to see what happens with the data. So it's a sort of a scientific interest for me, and then that's where you get all sort of, I can get all animated about the difference between science and art and whether they're related and all that kind of stuff. So that was my rationale for saying, well, I can still do it. It's it's whatever you want to do, and that's kind of what it was. So yeah, the kit sat there in the garage, I figured might as well use it down here.
And will you be doing anything with the map afterwards?
Well, I'll try and make it available online as a 3D model, and people can sort of download it and view it maybe just do some screenshots of it. In theory, I can publish the thing online and people can explore it themselves, so I'll definitely do that, and then whatever happens after that, we'll see what happens. The problem is, of course, it's 11 o'clock, so the you should be able to do a true coloured map using the camera that's on board, but Unfortunately, I think it'll be too dark, so I'll probably just do a scan, so it'll be coloured by the intensity of the reflection of the beam that's hitting the buildings. So we'll see. See, it'll look very colourful, but not particularly real, except the dimensions, of course.
So how are you going to do that?
I'll set the scanner up on a tripod, switch it on, press a few buttons, set the resolution of the data that I want to collect, and then it will do its thing for me. So it's an automatic process, which is quite nice. So I'll be able to sit around and just let it do its thing, and maybe have a tinker with it if I get, you know, find I've got a bit more time. So it should be fairly quick initially, and then I can do some more detailed scans of bits of interest. So I'll try and get a scan of top of the Nelson's Column. And just pick out some other bits of interest and try and sort of get some more detail in the areas that I can. So that's the idea.
So is this the same as what you do for a living?
Yeah, my job is kind of working with these. I'm a job title is product specialist for imaging products, which is anything to do with scanning and photography. And you combine two together to make photorealistic models of the real world, and it's used for engineering or architecture or heritage preservation, and basically fast 3D modelling. So that's what I do every day, and all this is just my line of work takes me to a number of quite entertaining places, and this is another entertaining spot. So it's a good place to be, I think. So I'll try and document as much as I can.
What other entertaining places has it taken you to?
The Place de España in Seville, for example, all over, well, fair number of places in Europe, a mill in Manchester is one of my sort of earlier projects that I did. It was 10 days of scanning. So this I'll hopefully just spend, well, an hour, obviously, and I'll have everything I need. But, you know, you do these projects, sometimes can be 10 days, and this particular mill that we did in North Manchester was an interesting project, because you also did inside, and it was an incredible building. It just gets you get into these places and you get a lot of time to think about what you're doing, and you see the various interesting things and different aspects of life in general, which is quite good fun. And I suppose this is now somewhere I can sound it off a bit and sort of say, yeah, no, this is another unique place where you can get to be if you get involved with this kind of stuff. So it's not that I'm promoting the profession, but I certainly enjoy it, and like I said, entertaining places. I'm just trying to think of the key thing is I can go anywhere with it, so yeah, you name it, I can go there, pretty much within reason. But I'm just trying to think of somewhere that's equally different, but I think this is probably the most unique spot I've been to, thinking about it.
So do you create the design, the 3D design beforehand for a project?
No, what you can do, this is measuring what's there, and recording what's there. So it's the term would be an as-built. So for example, we'll have a 3D model of Trafalgar Square as it is now, measured from the fourth plinth. And then if you wanted to, you could then design stuff to fit into that model. You can create 3D models of what is there now, and you could also compare it to designs. So, for example, you might do in engineering terms, you'd scan a tunnel, fit an alignment through it to say this is where the centre of the tunnel should be, and then compare that to the design of the tunnel and say, well, what have we got and how does it compare to the profile that was designed? Are we close? Are we miles out? Is it a big issue? Where do we need clearance for carriages, for example, if it was a train tunnel, that kind of thing. So it's quite a useful tool in that respect. So it's measuring what's there. It's only the term we would use within the company is capturing reality. So and it's data capture of reality. That's the buzzword. So,
and how long have you been doing this line of work?
Since 2005 is when I first got involved with what is called laser scanning, terrestrial laser scanning, and that's what the tool does. But I've been surveying since, well, I trained in Newcastle in 93 to 96, and I've basically been following Anthony Gormley around the country, it seems, because the Angel of the North were up in Gateshead, and I went to university in Newcastle. went away for a bit, came back to the UK, ended up with a job in Crosby, where every lunchtime I'd head out down to the beach and go and hang out with the Another Place installation there, and just followed them down to London now, so which is quite fun. I hadn't really clicked till today that that's what's going on. So I guess I'll follow on for the next project as well.
So, you said you have a daughter? Sorry, a child?
Yeah, two daughters. Two daughters.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, maybe I did. Yeah, because I said that she'd said, what are you doing it for? Why? That's was the question. 3.5-year-old, that's what you always get. Why, Daddy? So she has absolutely no... She loves watching stuff on telly, so if she was awake, she'd love to watch... Callie would love to watch the video stream, because that's her kind of thing. And Ruth, who's 9.5 months, she likes moving pictures, but that's about as far as it goes. So she's that's quite fun. But I think I'd like to think in the future they'll think, oh, my daddy was odd enough to have a go at this. I don't know whether it's a... It does seem it's a very... My wife is always saying to me, it's the only thing... It could only ever be done in the UK, this kind of project. I don't think it would work in other countries quite in the same way, which is quite interesting. Yeah, it's a classic British type of attitude, I guess. It's quite fun. I think the more I think about it, the more I agree with her. Which is nice.
Why do you think that is, that it can only take place in the UK?
That's probably a sweeping generalisation, but my feeling is that you've got the mix of cultures here and the acceptance of people doing their own thing, and there is a freedom in the UK where you can say what you think and do what you want, and there's no inhibitions, there's less inhibitions, and I think that just society is more accepting of people's ideas and what they do, you know. Clearly there are some boundaries and people overstep the mark sometimes, but generally you can do what you like, and that's quite nice. And I think in other countries it might be a bit more... It may be that something was more wacky or far out than perhaps what we're doing here, but it wouldn't be the same. It wouldn't be people sat up there having their lunch or just having a cup of tea or advertising Clanford Wells, which is which I saw the lady on the frog on the bog, which is quite amusing. And or the guy with the... I love the guy with the balloon, with the disappearing to the balloon. I want to get hold of one of them now, having seen that. But I don't know. I'm sure it would work in other countries in Europe, but I don't know. I think there's something unique about the UK and its population that means that this is something that's been a very successful project here, and it's great to be involved with it.
Have you been following the project from the beginning?
I wasn't aware of it right from the start. I didn't know what was going on, and I think I must have seen something probably in August when I saw the video there and sort of saw the website and thought, oh, this is something I should apply for at least, because it's free to apply. And then ever since then, I've been having a look and showing people, and obviously since I got accepted to come on and stand on the plinth, I've been checking every week to see what people are doing and sort of get a feel for what I might get away with or what would be deemed too odd, perhaps. And I've realised that basically I can do what I like up there. So and it comes back to the start of the discussion there, and saying that that's it, you can just do anything you like, and that's what I like about it.
What do you personally hope to gain from this experience?
I'm looking forward to having my own time, well, along with 2,400 other people, on that plinth, and I will at some point just sit down on the edge of it and just take it all in and see what's going on. I think the challenge of trying to get the map done, well, it's not a challenge. That'll be relatively easy, assuming all the kit works. That's part of it. And I think other than that, it's just to say that I've been involved, if I was getting all ranty about it, I'd say my putting engineering back in the art, I guess, because it's all, you know, it's all art really. But, I don't know, that's probably that's not quite right. I haven't really thought that one through, but I just like something that I can say that I was involved with, and it's, even though, you know, it's just a case of sending an email and turning up, you know, that's I'd like to do something that was unique, and that's a good opportunity to do it.
Do you have any hopes or fears or expectations?
I'm worried that I'll be too boring up there and people will just go, what's this idiot doing? And that'll be it. So I might try and just keep talking or get guys to phone me up or something just to keep me yakking. I was thinking I might try and spend the whole hour trying to talk about, in the fashion of, can't remember the name of the game now, but it's on Radio 4, so the idea would be to talk about laser scanning for an hour without pausing or hesitating or repeating a word. Can't remember what it's called now, but that was the idea, but I won't be able to do that, so I'll just, don't know, just keep myself busy. And it'll probably fly by, I'm assuming the time will be probably not enough time for what I want to do in the end, but we'll see.
Why are you worried about being boring?
Because once the equipment's up and running, it doesn't do much, or it doesn't look like it's doing much. It's doing a hell of a lot. Then once it's set up and running, and I'll go and press a few buttons, and then that's me for the rest of the hour. So I was trying to come up with ideas of what I could do to entertain people, but you don't have to entertain people. You know, you just have to be there, and that's. But then when you see the stuff that's on one another, you think, oh, well, maybe I should try and do something funny or maybe not, you know. That's, and so I've decided I'm just going to do what I do, and that's enough. It's 11 o'clock at night. I wasn't sure how busy it was going to be. So we'll see. But I've got a colleague with me who'll probably shout some useful comments up at me every now and again if I'm falling asleep or looking like I'm twiddling my thumbs.
Are you generally worried about how other people perceive you in life?
Not really, no. No, I do what I do, and if people can take it or leave it. I tend to, my favourite term of the moment is it's nice to be nice, and you know, I try to not put people out, not get what's required to get, I guess I'm a team player really, so my aim is to get what I need out of the situation through the team. And if that's a small team of one, then that's the way it works. But I would say, at the same time, I don't care if people have their opinion. That's their problem or their wish. And if they decide they don't like me, well, I don't need to meet them. So the answer is no. I don't really. I'm not bothered what people think.
Who would you say you're doing it for?
Me. I think I can see that ultimately that I could waffle on about how it's a bigger part of a big art project, and it is, and I'm aware that it is part of that. But the reason I sent my email in is because I was going to get to stand on the plinth, so ultimately it's me. But I'm also aware that so one of my philosophies in life is a kind of selfish look, which is look out for number one. But by looking out for number one, it might not be that you're looking out selfishly for number one, you're looking out for your friends, you're keeping those guys happy, because if your friends are happy, then you're generally happy. But the golden rule is, do it for yourself, and if you're happy doing it, then you're probably going to be all right. I guess it's kind of it's not a stoic approach to life, but it's kept me well for the 34 years I've been around. I'm enjoying myself, and I'm doing it for myself, I'm doing it to enjoy myself. And if somebody gets something out of it, then that's even better, I would say.
What would you say is important in your life at the moment?
I'll have to quote a colleague of mine, or not a work colleague, a good friend of mine from years ago, who's basically saying you've got split your life into three. You've got your family, you've got yourself, and you've got your family. And your work. And if all of those are good, then generally everything's good. And so that's my current outlook. Everything's going well, and it's just making sure that the balance works, that the family are working well together, work's good, I'm enjoying myself, then everything's good. And I've kind of forgotten what you asked me as to where I got to that now. Just going off on a flow somewhere.
What's important in your life at the moment?
Yeah, so those three things. And as long as they're all together, then that's what's important. So it's the general result of those three things being correct for me. And at the moment, everything's going pretty well. So it's good.
Okay, unfortunately, we have to stop here.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.